Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name's Keith Greer. I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning and hope you become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. That website, you'll find all these radio program and MP3 files. Also, we have Bible videos, 30 minutes in length, on a number of topics that are listed there in alphabetical order under special studies, and a host of other Bible-related material that we hope you'll take a look at. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come to know the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. All we ask, you come with an open mind and an open Bible, and let us share the Word of God with you. Before we get into our lesson this morning, I want to take this opportunity to wish all of our listening audience a happy Thanksgiving on this Thursday. But as you gather around your table with your family and your friends, don't forget to give thanks to God for the great blessings in your life. Without God, you would have nothing to celebrate Thanksgiving for. And I hope we just don't remember God just one Thursday a year, but that we remember everything we have is because of God's wonderful grace, His mercy, and His love for us, and that we are simply stewards of God's blessing, and we are to use them in such a way that bring glory and honor to His high and holy name. If you're traveling over this holiday weekend, we pray that you'll have safe travels and pray that you'll continue to thank God for the gifts in your life. Today, we want to continue our discussion in the book of 2 Peter, and we're going to conclude the first chapter this morning, and we're going to begin by reading our text, beginning in verse 16. In 2 Peter 1, verse 16, "For we did not follow cunning devised fables when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory, when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.' And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to take heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Now, in this particular part of 2 Peter, Peter is telling us to realize that our calling and our election and our relationship with Jesus is not based on fables, myth, or fairy tales. The apostles were eyewitnesses. Their story is not based on fables, myths, or stories that have no basis or legend. They were eyewitnesses. They were eyewitness to the majesty of Jesus. Let's read one of those eyewitness accounts in Matthew, the 17th chapter, that Peter referenced here in 2 Peter 1, in chapter 17, of Matthew, verses 1 through 5. "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' But while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came from the cloud, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise, and do not be afraid.' And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus." Now, this is on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was changed, transfigured before them, and the three eyewitnesses were Peter, James, and John. And they said that they received from God the Father honor and glory when they heard that his voice, and say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." They said they heard the voice, and it came from heaven, and when we were on the holy mountain. And so they were eyewitnesses. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest evidence of a truth of anything is by an eyewitness account. The Bible is full of eyewitness account. It has eyewitness testimony. It gives eyewitness evidence. That evidence and that testimony is contained in the Word of God. And it's contained in there so we can examine it, so we can put it to the test, so we can study it and meditate upon it, so that we'll believe it and that we'll obey the faith that is to generate in our life. But I want you to notice the last verses that we read in our text. And it says, "And so we have a prophetic word confirmed. This message has been confirmed. It has been confirmed by God, by eyewitnesses, and also by miracles." We read that in Mark chapter 16, verse 16 through 20, and Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And so we have a confirmed message. We have something that's been confirmed by eyewitness testimony, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. This word is a light to those who are lost and dying in sin. It is a beacon of hope to direct men out of sin. But notice verse 20 and 21 that are very important. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now notice that there was made sure. This prophecy was more sure because it's confirmed by the evidence. But verse 20 and 21 says that evidence was revealed by God. It didn't come from the prophet's own mind. It came by the Holy Spirit who moved them, bore them along, guided them, led them. And we can read this truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 13. We also read in John 16, 13, that Jesus promised to guide the apostles into all truth when he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed the mind of God. It revealed the things that God wanted men to know. And the Bible is under no private interpretation. That means what you think it means, what I think it means, doesn't mean anything. The Bible was interpreted by God through the Holy Spirit. Let me just give you a couple of examples of what I mean. The Bible is of no private interpretation. The Bible says in Mark 16, 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned." In Romans chapter 6, the Bible says we're buried into his death to rise and to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verse 4. Colossians 2, verse 12 says that we're buried into his death, where spiritual circumcision takes place, and it is the operation of God. Now, that's what the scripture says. But yet, you have men today who claim that that doesn't mean that baptism is essential to salvation. That doesn't mean that one needs to be baptized. Oh, it's a good work once you do it, but it's not essential. Well, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that it saves a person. Scripture says that we're buried in his death. The scripture says that we arise to walk in newness of life. The scripture says it does not also now save us in 1 Peter 3:21. And it is a way of putting on Christ, according to Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. Now that's what the scripture says. Now are you going to believe what men say it doesn't say, or are you going to believe what God's word does say? Again, whenever we get into these discussions with those that we disagree with in the realm of religious teaching, they say, "Well, preacher, that's just your interpretation. I want to clear the record. I don't have an interpretation. I don't have a theology. I don't have a teaching. I don't have a doctrine. My doctrine is God's doctrine. My doctrine is based upon thus saith the Lord. If you have listened to this program since I've been on it for a number of years, over 8 years, if you have listened to this program, I have said everything that I draw a conclusion on by giving you a book, a chapter, and a verse. We try to demonstrate that what we teach, that what we practice, and what we believe is not the Church of Christ teaching. It is not Church of Christ doctrine. It is what the Scripture says. It has a thus saith the Lord. In Colossians 3, verse 17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to have God's authority behind what you do. And it is not of a private interpretation. I was talking to a minister in this area a number of years ago on a disagreement we had about a particular doctrine that he was proposing that was a false application of what books of prophecy said. And he said, well, Mr. Greer, he said, that's just doctrine. We don't have to agree on doctrine. We just have to agree upon the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've got to believe on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But we can differ on doctrine. I asked him to show me a passage that says that. Show me that the teachings of God in his word, we can look at that differently. That you could teach it one way and I can teach it another way, and we can both be pleasing to God. That's just a false doctrine. That's just a false teaching, and he's wrong about that. The Bible says, and listen to Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why do people profess to love God, to love his Son, to believe the word of God, and yet they do contrary to what that book says? Jesus made it very apparent in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father that is in heaven. How does one know if they're doing the will of the Father? Well, you have to go to where the will of the Father is revealed. Where is the will of the Father revealed? It's not revealed in theology of men. It's not revealed in books of men. It's not revealed in the doctrines and teachings of men. It is only contained in the Scripture that was inspired by God. That means God breathed, and it is inspired, and it was revealed by the Holy Spirit, who was the revelator. And so you and I would not know the mind of God if it were not for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes all the guesswork out. So when I read the Bible, I'm reading God's mind as he opens it to us. You see, you would know nothing about how to please God, how to worship God, what the work of the church is, how to get into the church, what is the proper name for the church, what is the proper name for those who believe and follow him. You would know none of that without the teaching contained in the Bible. And so, dear listener, let me ask you something in closing. Do you have faith in God, or do you have more faith in the teachers that tell you what God's word says? I got a suggestion. Why don't you open your mind? Why don't you open your Bible? And why don't you think for yourself? And why don't you see if what you're being told and what you're practicing can be confirmed and validated by the truth? If it cannot, then it's a teaching of men, not a teaching of God. Think about it. Thank you.